Scientific and technological advances and open markets are creating both opportunities and challenges for today's organizations. To stay relevant as a company, you need to be able to adapt to unprecedented change, uncertainty, and ambiguity. In this podcast, we explore how leaders can build such organizations. In the previous episode, Jimmy and I covered the concept of inclusive leadership. Since many people either call themselves leaders or are expected to lead in organizations, I want to talk more about leaders and leadership today. Complex situations makes it challenging to become a leader that's appreciated. And people's different perceptions and expectations on leaders require a leader to understand their own contextual significance. More on this in a bit. When I've worked with different tech organizations and leaders, I've noticed that some people repeatedly provide appreciated and appropriate leadership. I've also noticed that they share some common traits that distinguishes them from other leaders. Before sharing these traits, I first want to elaborate on how to understand a leader's contextual significance. To be able to spot a great leader, I'm using the most basic framing about what leadership entails that I've come across, which is that leadership is movement towards something. Without movement or direction traveled, there's no leadership. The main reasons I found this framing particularly useful is that it's context-free, meaning that its practical manifestations are context-specific. Being a leader of a country, football team, shoe factory, or an organization that uses software as a tool to provide utility implies both differences and similarities, both conceptually and practically. And the conditions that enable a specific company to have momentum and progress towards something varies with context. This is as much relevant for an individual employee, since a person's ability to be able to make progress is influenced by their historical experiences and the context and situation they engage with. In the last episode, I talked about how one might notice they could be in a complex situation, and some of the traits that discourages trivialization. So with this in mind, I found that there are a number of traits that, as I said earlier, distinguish people that provide appreciated and appropriate leadership. Generally speaking, these leaders are considered to have lots of positive impact on their organizations, and they create conditions so people can make choices that are appropriate in the situation, while also being sustainable. And there are five concrete traits in particular that I would like to elevate in this episode. And by no means whatsoever do they paint a complete picture. The main reason that I'm choosing these five is that I haven't seen enough people currently displaying these traits. The first is repeatedly identifying positives. Lots of people share their opinions on what's not working or could be improved in a situation. By repeatedly pointing out what stops a person or team or product from becoming more successful. While it is relevant, it's also not effective enough. People that only share negative things consume a fair amount of energy and spread negativity, and eventually they won't be listened to. On the other hand, people that more frequently identify and share what's working good enough in a situation makes it easier for progress to happen. How insignificant it may sound, it could be as simple as a peer agile coach of mine once did. She worked with a team that had big technical challenges with scaling and trouble coming to an agreement or consent. The team, managers, and other coaches had already acknowledged this fact. Instead of doing the same, she shared her observation and appreciation for team members' openness toward each other and that they were respectively sharing their thoughts. This created enough positivity to enable them to improve by safely experimenting. You can gain important knowledge by acknowledging the present and the efforts spent on creating it. Doing so encourages incremental, iterative, and continuous improvements. It also increases the chances that conditions are broken down into steps with distinct utility and purpose. This brings us to the trait of creating awareness of the present. The most commonly acceptable perception people have of a great leader is that they are a great visionary. Someone that can articulate a clear and compelling future goal. And people do appreciate this ability, and it is a very relevant trait to have as a leader. On the other hand, leaders that rely heavily on providing visions and goals fail to provide appropriate guidance on how the organization practically can achieve a vision. Great leaders have realized that it's not enough to only provide a compelling vision. Employees perceive experiences, interactions, and context differently. The most appreciated leaders are both aware of this and understand its significance. So they increase a group's awareness for how they themselves and others experience and perceive the present situation. This increases the clarity of what conditions the group is surrounded by. It also highlights what options are more or less available at any given point. They also keep options open for as long as feasibly possible. A specific example I can share is from when I worked at Spotify. And at one point, there were three data infrastructure teams that had the overall objective of collecting user data for financial reporting and product performance, and they were unable to do so in a reliable way. This was despite all teams clearly understanding their own vision and the overall vision. And it took a few experienced leaders to collectively create awareness that the current technical boundaries between the teams was creating enough friction to prevent them from making necessary improvements. And progress in this case was made by creating new boundaries by organizing the same people into three alternative teams. Another trait is the use of analogies and varied perspectives. Complex situations are tremendously difficult to manage. This causes people to at times become puzzled, confused, or stuck. Highly appreciated leaders actively look for conceptual similarities from other knowledge domains, both close and distant. And they use them in the form of analogies to help with unlocking progress. This allows people to look at a situation from an alternative perspective. It also makes it easier to avoid the use of redundant approaches and overlearned behavior or habits. Surprisingly, perhaps the most effective analogy I've used was with a manager that for some time had tried to get a team to improve how they were managing technical debt. The team was, for different reasons, not dealing with tech debt, which was contributing to repeatable critical bugs and outages. Unfortunately, the manager didn't have enough relevant context and a knowledge to help the team hands-on. So to get the team to work on their tech debt, the manager had mainly been nudging them and arguing for the importance of managing tech debt, which really hadn't been effective enough. Hearing him talk about his struggles, I spontaneously shared an experience that my neighbors had during the summer. They noticed that their hedge around the garden had been invaded by aphids. The aphids were spreading very quickly, and if nothing was done about it, most of the leaves would be eaten. So they asked their 6-year-old daughter if she could collect as many ladybugs as she could find and place them on their hedge. Since she adored ladybugs, she excitedly spent around 60 minutes doing just that. After roughly a week or so, it was clear that the ladybugs had been very effective. The population of aphids was no longer an issue and the hedge had been saved. Sharing this story made the manager think of a particular developer in a different team that he worked with previously. This developer had relevant experience and likely would be excited to work on the particular changes. Jumping forward a week, and the developer joined the team, and his involvement turned out to influence positive change, and both critical bugs and outages became significantly less frequent in the team. Then there's the trait of leaning into the unexpected. Managing complex situations very seldom go precisely as expected. In most cases, it leads to unexpected outcomes and unintended consequences. Appreciated leaders treat them with curiosity and as great indicators that new insight can be gained. This tends to increase other people's curiosity and openness to learn. It also makes it easier to identify when seemingly insignificant things in reality can have a tremendous importance. One company I worked with experienced that a specific effort to increase a particular business outcome exceeded expectations. At the same time, another effort to achieve a different outcome was failing, and its urgency was now critical. Senior management decided that an individual who had made key contributions to the successful outcome should refocus and join the failing effort. This highly appreciated individual, by both team members, peers, and stakeholders, was also given an increased mandate by senior management. An increase in progress was observed only weeks after this had taken effect. Besides this, dependency on a single individual had increased, as well as an increase of cynicism and decrease of empathy among several employees and managers. And the last trait I want to highlight is that highly appreciated leaders also know when to follow others. They are comfortable in taking a step back when appropriate, because they want to avoid making a team overly dependent on a single source, such as themselves, and because they want to create conditions where there's opportunities for teams to grow and to make the organization more intelligent and that it develops agency. The most vivid display of this trait that I've experienced so far is by the Spotify founders Daniel Ek and Martin Lorentzon. Both do it in their own unique way. For example, when I interacted with Daniel Ek or saw him interacting with others, he always took the time to acknowledge, appreciate, and engage with input. He also connected you with people who either had more knowledge and insight than himself or were in a more appropriate position to influence progress. He also didn't hesitate to publicly share when he or his direct reports were unclear about a particular topic and pointed at sources of potential new insights. Additionally, he demonstrated an ability to understand someone else's perspective and shared the learnings he made from others. Martin Lorentzon, on his end, would enthusiastically and candidly declare to new hires that Spotify didn't need him as much as the company needed them, acknowledging that everyone had been hired for their specific experience. And if that wasn't enough, he also encouraged everyone to enrich the company, contribute to its outcomes, learn from others, and use those learnings and connections to start their own companies. So, those are the five traits that I wanted to elevate today. By the way, the order in which I've shared these traits has no significance. There are another handful of traits that I've noticed distinguish highly appreciated leaders. And I provided a link in the description to an illustration that summarizes the traits that I've noticed so far. And to be clear, the illustration still doesn't paint a full picture. With that said, if a leader displays most of these signs, it could indicate they provide leadership that is highly appreciated and appropriate. And if you listened to the last episode about trivialization, you've probably noticed that there is extensive entanglement between the things I've talked about today and last time. You can also find an in-depth article on InfoQ that covers both of these episodes in writing. Link is available in the description. I've also provided some links to key people and work that are influencing my own thinking and practice in this context. Thanks for listening. Until next time.